Fed chairman is in the spotlight again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Let the games begin. Bernanke and Toyota in Washington. The games are going well for NBC. All of that ahead. But first, where's Wall Street? The S&P up about 2/3%. The NASDAQ about 3/4%. The Dow higher now by 64 points, 10,347. Markets in Europe are higher, about 0.5% or less. In Asia, Tokyo's Nikkei lost a little ground, about 1.5% there. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is back on Capitol Hill today to talk about monetary policy. It'll mark the first time he'll get to publicly talk about last week's Fed move to raise the discount rate by 0.5%. The move was expected, and it's seen as a sign emergency economic measures could be in the very, very early stages of winding down. We're going to bring in Richard DeKayser now, the president of Woodley Park Research. He's with us live from Washington. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Steve.
So Bernanke back on the Hill. What are investors, Richard, looking for from him? What are they going to be paying attention to?
They're going to be looking for any hints as to how the Fed's going to unwind the so-called exit strategy. The Fed has begun to very, very gradually reverse the various actions taken starting late in 2007. And the bottom line is investors are worried about two words, extraordinary and extended. Will interest rates remain extraordinarily low, and will they stay there for an extended period of time? So any hints around that are going to be where the financial markets are completely focused.
Do you think, Richard, he's going to get a better reception there than last month when there was a lot of political posturing? I mean, how does the market look at all of that?
Well, I think the markets largely ignore that. That's for public consumption. He might get a better treatment than he did last time, but I don't think he'll get a good treatment. There is a lot of public anger, so long as unemployment is high and the economy continues to muddle through. And politicians want to express their solidarity, I think, with the public by voicing their disappointment with the state of affairs, and they'll direct some of that disappointment at the Federal Reserve.
Richard, we thank you.
My pleasure.
The other guy facing a congressional grilling is, and another guy is Toyota President Akio Toyota. He'll be asked about sudden acceleration problems and the company's recall of millions of cars and trucks. Marketplace's Gregory Warner has a preview of that.
Today's hearings will expose not only problems at Toyota, but problems at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA. The regulating authority went easy on the company. Subpoenaed documents from Toyota bragged of how Toyota negotiated favorable recalls of just some floor mats. Toyota has now recalled more than 5 million vehicles. Paul Eisenstein is publisher of the DetroitBureau.com. He says the question is not just were regulators too cozy with the industry to enforce the rules.
But there's also the question of whether they have the simple capability of testing, particularly some of the complex systems that are going into today's cars.
Eisenstein says one outcome of the hearings might be to give NHTSA the resources they need to do their job. Gary Chasen is professor of industrial relations at Clark University. He says since last year's bailout of the auto industry,
the government, as they would say, has a dog in this fight.
He says Congress has to crack down on Toyota without giving the impression it's just trying to make General Motors look good. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
U.S. mortgage applications fell for a third straight week. The Mortgage Bankers Association says demand for loans sank to the lowest level in 13 years thanks to bad weather. Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, February 24th, 2010 at marketplace.org. Executives from WellPoint will testify this morning at a hearing on Capitol Hill. That's the parent company of Anthem Blue Cross, the health insurer that made news recently for trying to boost premiums by about 39% on its customers in California. And as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, they're probably wishing they didn't try to do that right about now.
Anthem says it needed to raise premiums on its California customers because healthy people are dropping out of the insurance pool due to the recession. But because of its move, Washington is hitting back twice as hard with proposals for new rules on insurance rate increases.
I suspect that they wish they didn't have this headache.
Dave Shove is a senior healthcare services analyst at BMO Capital. He says Anthem's error was likely a side effect of its sheer size.
They insure 35 million people. They're the largest health insurer in the United States. Rate increases are done probably every day, and I doubt at the senior executive level that every rate request is reviewed.
Well, perhaps they will be from now on. Shove says Anthem's PR blunder isn't all bad for the company. The spat with Washington could boost the case for a mandate that all Americans carry insurance. And that is something Anthem wouldn't mind one bit. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
For the second time in a month, Greece is in the grips of a major nationwide strike. As many as 2 million workers are reported to have walked off the job for 24 hours. They are protesting against Greek government cutbacks. From Athens, Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
The strikers are rallying and marching while large parts of the city lay idle. The subway has ground to a halt. Many public offices are empty, and even the country's famous archaeological sites have shut down. The strikers oppose the government's plan to cut the budget deficit by freezing and reducing public sector pay. Union member Despina Koutsoumba says pay cuts will only deepen the Greek recession.
If we don't have money to spend, if we don't have money to live, how this will get the country out of the crisis? This is a question that many, many countries in the European Union and worldwide have to answer.
But the pressure is on Greece. Fellow Eurozone members like Germany say Greek debt is undermining the euro. European and IMF officials are in Greece this week studying the public accounts. They're expected to call for even deeper spending cuts. In Athens, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Obama addresses the nation's top CEOs at a business roundtable meeting scheduled later today. He's expected to roll out a proposal to incentivize coal-burning power plants to switch to natural gas. From Washington, Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Natural gas burns much more cleanly than coal, and new technologies have uncovered domestic reserves of gas. Prices have been coming down. Steve Nadell at the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy says gas-fired utility plants are becoming more attractive.
From an efficiency point of view, the gas would be better. But we do have lots of coal, and there's a lot of political implications about where the coal comes from. So it gets pretty complicated.
Coal is still cheaper than gas, and coal means lots of jobs for economically depressed parts of the country like Appalachia. Energy analyst Bob Lee with Charles River Associates says, rightly or wrongly, the president's picking a winner and a loser.
If the economics were such that gas was superior, the government wouldn't have to step in that case. So the fact that the government has to step in and try to push producers towards gas away from coal means that there is an economic cost to be paid somewhere.
Big oil companies would be among the winners. They've invested a lot in the future of domestic natural gas. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
When you think of online shopping, you typically think of big items such as books, clothing, or electronics, not toilet paper and toothpaste. But a new website offers to send you those and other consumer products without shipping costs, and it claims without a retail markup either. So how does it plan to make money? Kayomi Getz fills us in.
Alice.com takes its name from the housekeeper on the Brady Bunch, but its business model comes from serial entrepreneurs Brian Wiegand and Mark McGuire, who've already sold one of their startups to Microsoft. The site takes everyday household goods like Tide laundry detergent, Aveeno shampoo, and sells them at prices the company claims are cheaper than those at traditional retailers. Brian Wiegand says Alice.com can do that because it allows manufacturers to sell directly to consumers.
Is the manufacturers actually are really in control of Alice. The manufacturers, they decide what the prices are, and so we're really not a retailer.
Its prices do seem lower. A 10-ounce bottle of Aveeno is about 25 cents cheaper at Alice.com than at Target.com. Alice handles the transaction and shipping, but Wiegand says the site makes no money from that. Instead, Alice intends to turn a profit by offering manufacturers advertising space on the site. It also sells information about the site's users and their buying habits. Sucharita Muparu is an analyst with Forrester Research.
It's a great opportunity to carve a direct relationship with consumers. It's the opportunity to, you know, capture names and addresses that you can then use to market to them, you know, kind of special offers later on.
Still, the mechanics of the company's relationship with manufacturers is unclear. For instance, Alice.com sells Tide, but Procter & Gamble, the maker of Tide, says it doesn't have a relationship with the website. Alice instead gets the detergent through a third-party distributor. Mulperu says manufacturers want to be careful not to jeopardize their relationship with traditional retailers.
Manufacturers have to tread this space very, very carefully, and they know that the majority of their dollars still happen through their retail partners. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way that it will likely be well into the future.
So-called consumer packaged goods like toothpaste and deodorant account for only 1% of web purchases. But analyst Mulperu says manufacturer sites factor into a third of all online sales by either direct purchase or product research. And that is only expected to increase. I'm Kayomi Getz for Marketplace.
Peacock Network, NBC, is scoring a ratings win for its coverage of the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, beating top programs most of last week. It is a gamble that now seems to be paying off. Dina Myers is an analyst at SNL Kagan, a market research firm. She joins us right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So NBC said it was going to lose somewhere, what was it, $200, $250 million from these games. I mean, if that's the case, what could possibly have been the rationale going in to buy the rights?
They've always made money in the past, and they assume that they're going to make it in the future when they bought these rights. So, you know, the money they paid for it was legitimate at the time.
It's been 6 years, perhaps, since American Idol had any competition or really any program that has topped American Idol on Fox, and NBC did that with the Olympics coverage last week. I mean, these are the highest-rated games since Salt Lake City 8 years ago. Did they see this coming?
I don't really think anyone saw this coming. I think going into this, people thought that it wasn't going to be a highly rated games. And going up against American Idol, that's tough.
So if the fact that this is, you know, a surprise to the programmers at NBC, which has been the fourth network in the ratings now for a few years, how did they capitalize on this?
With promotions for other programs, they have a huge shakeup in their primetime schedule. So they want to really promote Jay Leno moving back into late night, new programs such as Parenthood coming up. You know, that really helps. It also helps with other programs. Ratings at the Today Show have been up for the Olympics. You know, it helps with their affiliates in the local news hour after the Olympics.
Dina, what's the most interesting thing to you when you look at this whole scenario?
I think it's really interesting that the big sports rights deals are moving to cable, and the Olympics have just, you know, really been on the broadcast network since the beginning. So I think it's really interesting that right now is the first time we're going to see maybe the move to a cable network. And so that's why you really have ABC and ESPN in play for the next two rights that are up.
Dina Myers, senior analyst at SNL Kagan, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, maybe the thrill of victory just isn't quite enough for you, in which case a French company called Ultimate Reality will sell you a designer adrenaline package. $1,200 will buy you a basic kidnapping. Abductors will come unannounced, tie you up, take you away for 4 hours. For more money, they'll throw you in a helicopter or chase you and even allow you a harrowing escape. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.